This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hello, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I want to talk about today is the question, does God exist? Now, obviously, I believe that God exists. The name of our program is the Armor of God. And here at the Church of God International, we definitely believe that God exists. The God of the Bible, though. The God of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The YHWH. That's the God that we believe in. We don't necessarily believe what other people believe in this world, that any God is worthy of worship, that any religion can lead you to salvation. We believe you have to specifically be dealing with the God of the Bible in order to obtain salvation. So we're going to look at this question, does God exist? We're going to look for some proof, not only from the Bible, but we'll take a little look at nature. We'll take a look a bit at science today and see what proofs of God we may find there as we move along. But I believe this is a relevant topic for today because I recently saw some survey information by the Pew Research Group, and Pew runs a lot of surveys on a number of different topics. And on this particular topic, they were looking at belief in God in the United States and amongst the various religions in the United States. And what they found was between 2007 and 2014, the belief in God in this country has gone down from about 78% to about 70%. Now, you can find survey information in the United States from years ago where the belief in God was much higher than 70%. As we look further at some of this research information, we find that non-Christian beliefs from other religions like Hinduism and Islam has grown in the United States. It's still pretty small. It's about 5.9%. But it has grown in the United States, where Christianity, even though it is still large, has diminished a little bit. We also look at the statistics on atheists, agnostics, and another category that they titled Nothing in Particular. And if you put all these three groups together, that has risen from about 16% in 2007 to about 22% in 2014. So that trend bothers me a bit, folks, Because when you look at the United States, we've been a country that believed in the Judeo-Christian God. And as you look at things over the last 10, 15 years, you see a diminishment in that belief. And as we move forward 10 to 15, 20 years from now, I wonder where we will be with our belief in the Judeo-Christian God of the Bible. Here's the warning I have. As we begin to move further away from this Judeo-Christian God, things will not be going good in this country. You can see that with ancient Israel, that when they did not believe in God, when they looked at His law and moved away from it, they were soon overcome by the forces around them. So that's a warning to us that we need to get back to the God of this Bible if we want things to continue to go well, as they have for the most part in this country's history. So let's continue to look at this subject. And when I look at this subject, I also am concerned because I have a young daughter, and I can remember when I was a kid, I didn't know anybody when I was 5 or 6 that didn't believe in God. But what I remember is that my daughter came home one day and told me that her friend had told her that she didn't believe in God, and she was trying to fill her mind with why she didn't believe in God. So that concerns me also. But what I want to do as we get into today's program, I want to offer you some free literature and also a free CD on today's program. The literature that we want to offer you today is titled The Awesome Power of God. The most destructive nuclear blast man has been able to produce pales to insignificance when compared to the awesome power of the Creator God. To get information on this awesome power of God, order our booklet, The Awesome Power of God. We also want to offer you a free full-length sermon CD that is called Proofs of God. This CD will give you detailed information on why you should believe in the God of the Bible. It will give you information from nature, from science, from DNA, and also from the very pages of your Bible. To get both of these items, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791, or you can order by visiting our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Also, if you go to our website, you can learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. Welcome back, everyone. Those of you who are with us at the top of today's program and those of you who are just joining us, we're calling today's program, Does God Exist? And at the top of the program, we talked about some survey information out there, and a number of different survey outfits are finding the same thing, that the belief in God in the United States is going down. It's going down. I mentioned at the top of today's program that my daughter, who was 5 at the time, went next door to play with one of her friends. And when she came back, I told her it was time for us to pray as we put her to bed that night. And she said, well, is God real? And I said, what do you mean, is God real? I've been telling you God is real. We pray to God. What do you mean? And she said, well, my next door neighbor friend says that God isn't real. And she began to tell me what the next door neighbor friend, who was about 6 or 7 at the time, was telling her. And for me, that was a change because of what I remember as a kid, that I can't remember at that age anybody that I knew who didn't believe in God. But now we have people who don't believe in God, even at a young age, seem to be promoting this idea to other young people their age. So to me, that's a worry, that's a concern on the direction that this country is headed if we don't believe in the Judeo-Christian God. So we want to look at, are there some proofs out there, ways that we can say, yeah, that makes me believe that there really is a God, and I believe we do have some information like that for you today. Now, you keep hearing me focusing on the Judeo-Christian God. There are many other religions out there, Hinduism, we've got Islam, we've got many animist religions, we've got Confucianism, Buddhism, Shintoism. I'm not talking about the gods of those religions. I'm talking about the YHWH, the God of the Bible specifically. That is the God I'm referring to here. And I'm exclusively talking about that God because when you look at these other religions, you will find in Islam, Muhammad did not claim to be God. You will find in Buddhism that the founder of that religion did not claim to be God. He did not say, you need to believe in me to have salvation. You will find in all of these other religions, at least the major ones, that there is not a claim by the person who began that religion that they are God. But in Christianity, what sets it apart is Jesus Christ claims to be God. The Bible says you must believe in this individual in order to obtain salvation. There is no salvation in any other individual. That is a claim that separates Christianity from the major religions of this world. And that claim is something you need to think about if you are not a believer in the Judeo-Christian God. Now, another thing that's different about Christianity, as we begin to look at this, can be found over in Romans chapter 1. Now, for those of you who don't believe in the Bible, I'd just like you to take a look at Romans 1. I want to make a linkage here. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, what's it saying here? The invisible things of God from the creation are clearly seen, being understood by what He's made. In other words, you can see His power and His Godhead within the creation of God. Now, 2,000 years ago, we didn't know what we know today. We have significantly gained in knowledge about the creation of God. And I'm speaking specifically about DNA, about the cells in your body and what they tell us, the amazing things that are going on inside of them. But even 2,000 years ago, Scripture is telling us that you could look at what was in nature and you could see evidence of a God in that creation. Just think about it. I was out in the Redwood National Forest in California. I saw those giant sequoia trees that just blew me away when I first saw them. It's astounding if you ever get a chance to see those giant trees. Those giant trees came from a tiny seed. That tiny seed was in the ground and it had all the information that produced that giant tree. That is astounding. That is miraculous when you think about it. That is the creation of God. That is something that is a miracle when you stop to think about it. Now, I want to cite you some more information here on this type of thing. I'd like to turn over to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 25. And I want to show you something over there in Genesis 1 and 25. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 25 says the following, "And God made the beast of the earth after His kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after His kind. And God saw that it was good." Now, the Bible is not a scientific book, but the Bible states here in Genesis that everything comes after its own kind. You can't have a monkey and then a human being produced from it, or something different from a human coming from some monkey or some sort of other beast. You can't have a dolphin turning into a crocodile. The Bible says like begets like. And thus far, science has not been able to go against and disprove what your Bible says. Regardless of what evolutionary theory says, evolution is a theory. And when you begin to study that, it becomes very apparent that it is a theory. Some other information I'd like to relate to you. is if we do believe in evolutionary theory, if we do believe that everything began from a soupy mix in an ancient ocean, that amino acids linked together to create more complex protein molecules, what were the chances of something like that happening? Because science has looked at this possibility, and many scientists say there's not much of a chance of that happening, but it had to happen because they won't believe in a God. But let me just give you some statistics from science on what the likelihood of something like that happening is. Some scientists say that the chance of amino acids forming more complex proteins and becoming life, the chances of that happening in that way are 1 in the 10 to the 113th power. Now, that's pretty astounding. That something like that is not going to happen, right? It isn't going to happen because here's what mathematicians say. Mathematicians say that if something is statistically 1 in 10 to the 50th power, if that's the chances of it happening, 1 in 10th to the 50th power, that is something that is not going to happen. That's what scientists say. So we see here that the chances of life forming from this soup in an ancient ocean are slim to none, even less than slim to none when you think about it. Let me just read you a couple quotes from a mathematician and a scientist. The hypothesis that life has developed from inorganic matter is at present still an article of faith. Did you catch that? This is a quote from mathematician J.W.N. Sullivan. And he's saying the idea that life just developed in this soupy mess in an ocean billions of eons ago, that is an article of faith. It definitely is. Evolution is a theory, those of you who believe in it. If you really study up on it and look at what the other side says, you will find that it is an article of faith to believe in the probability of evolution leading to what we have in the world today. Here's another quote from George Wald, a biochemist. One has only to contemplate the magnitude of this task to concede that the spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. Okay, this is a biochemist. This is a guy who plays around in the science all day. And he's saying for something inorganic to become life, he thinks that's impossible. And those statistics I gave you earlier bear that out. It is impossible. Where it came from was a creator God who put this all together. Another idea to think about when you think about proofs of God are laws that are extant in the world today. Now you might say, well, hey, what do you mean laws are proof of a God? Well, think about it for a moment. Let's think about the law of gravity. So you jump up in the air, you come back down to the earth. You jump up in the air, you come back down to the earth. If this was all by chance, why don't we have laws in nature that are more chaotic, more spontaneous? Why are laws so orderly and process-driven? You jump up in the air, you come back down onto the earth. Why not jump into the air and be able to float around for a while and then decide where you want to come back onto the earth? Or why not jump into the air and shoot across 100 or 200 miles of space and then fall to the ground? If it was all by chance, that definitely should be a possibility. But why is everything so orderly, so patterned? Why do the seasons go in a particular flow and then they come back again? Why are there these natural laws out there in the natural world? Why does everything have to die? Why couldn't everything just live forever if it was all by chance? Think about that for a minute if you've never thought about it. The Bible has a lot to say about death. The laws of thermodynamics, the third law, the law of entropy, that everything is breaking down. Why is that? The Bible has answers as to why that is. Did you ever think of it from that perspective, those of you who may not believe in this Judeo-Christian God? The laws of nature give you the proof, another proof, at least in my mind, that there is a lawgiver. If you've got laws, you've got to have a lawgiver, or you would have chaos, would you not? Something to think about. Something to think about. Let me give you a quote by an eminent physicist who's won a Nobel Prize, Richard Feynman. Listen to what Richard Feynman, a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, says. Why nature is mathematical is a mystery. I didn't even get into mathematical law, which all nature is built upon. Why nature is mathematical is a mystery. The fact that there are rules at all is a kind of miracle. Now, he says kind of miracle because I think he doesn't want to say it's a miracle. I'll tell you that it is a miracle, but it's a miracle from God, all right? But he's saying that the fact that there are rules at all is a kind of miracle. And that's getting back to the laws I was talking about, that if it was all by chance, there wouldn't be this orderliness. There wouldn't be these mathematical equations to nature, which Feynman has studied and knows like the back of his hand. This guy knows what he's talking about, and he says that when he looks at nature, it's kind of like a miracle to him to see the way nature is set up and organized in the world in which we live. I want to show you something else that is very astounding when you begin to study it, and that is deoxyribonucleic acid, or DNA. When you think about DNA, we all know that it is an instruction code within each cell of your body. But here's my question to you. How do you get an instruction code into something that is so small? How did that evolve into your cells? When you think about evolutionary theory, how could something so complex evolve into something so minuscule? Think about that for a minute. If you have instruction, if you have an instruction code, it belies the fact that there is intent behind it. Think about that for a minute. If you've got intent or instruction, you've got to have some type, if you have instruction, you've got to have some type of intent behind it. So how can there be all of this instruction within every cell in your body if there was no intentionality behind that instruction? When I go to teach a class, I have an intent in mind as to what I'm going to teach people. And when we look at DNA, we see a mind, an intent behind all of that instruction in each cell within your body. Now, when you think of computer code, you think of a series of zeros and ones. Maybe you think of the Matrix movie where all those zeros and ones are flashing on the screen. All those zeros and ones tell the computer exactly what to do within that computer program. DNA works much in the same way. Scientists have given letters to the chemicals within DNA. They've given them the letter A, T, G, or C. So when you go into the strands of DNA within the cells of your body, you will find that 3 billion letters line up in every cell to tell that cell exactly what to do. 3 billion chemical letters are lining up in order to give information to that cell on what it should do. DNA is a 3 billion lettered program telling the cell to act in a certain way. That tells me there's intent behind it. And to believe that that just happened by chance is ridiculous, at least in my mind. What do you think? Do some research on DNA. Get that CD we were talking about. Now, the last thing I'd like to mention along the lines of proofs of God is the Bible that I'm looking at right now. There's information in this book that astounds historians, that astounds scientists. One example of this is over in Genesis chapter 11, And I'm not going to read all of this because I don't have the time, but read Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9. And what you will read there is that the people at that time had one language. And what happened was God did not approve of what they were doing, so he mixed their languages and they began to move away from that particular location on the map. Now, that particular location was Mesopotamia, basically where Iraq is today. And I want to read you a quote by a noted linguistic scholar, Sir Henry Rawlinson. Here's what he says. If we were to be guided by the mere intersection of linguistic paths and independently of all reference to the scriptural record, we should still be led to fix on the plains of Shinar in Mesopotamia as the focus from which the various lines had radiated. He's saying, even if we didn't have the Bible and we studied what we know about language, we would find that we could trace the origins of language back to Mesopotamia. That's exactly where the Bible says those languages began to radiate out. Take the flood of Noah in your Bible. We have stories from all over this world, different people, not only in places near the ocean, but people in central Mexico, people in Central Asia who have a flood story. Is that just by chance? Think about that, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who don't believe in the God of this Bible. There are a number of proofs of the God of this Bible. I want you to get that CD. I want you to get that literature, The Awesome Power of God. Get that CD, The Proofs of God, where we go into greater detail on some of the issues that I've brought up on today's program. To get that lit and that CD, call toll-free, 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or go to our website to order, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. We offer that free of charge. Please take advantage of that opportunity. Go to the website and see even more of our booklets and CDs, which are free to you. I want to submit to you, there is a God. I believe in this God, and I hope that you come to a belief in this God also. This God allows me to live my life without fear. This God allows me to live my life where I don't worry about what is going to happen because of what I read in the pages of this Bible. I want you to get that message. Go to your Bibles. We'll see you on another edition of The Armor of God. So long for now.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.